Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplex and the art house. What's new on video and streaming, and you might also hear about some dead people we like.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Anyway, this is Film Sociology, where you'll find out what's the next cinematic marvel.
It was unbelievable!
And what's just a movie.
Shut up! My God, you have no freaking life!
Okay, here's your host and my dad, Matthew Soci.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soci. This show is available on iTunes, and like all of the podcasts here at WFYI, available on Spotify. Well, friends, we got through another week. We will grab a pencil. It's just you and me this week. I'm hoping to get some guests on the show soon. We'll just see about that. But I've been enjoying the time home after the post-Midsummer Night's Dream energy. Been catching up on the Criterions that I purchased because it was half off at a certain bookstore, national chain. Appreciate that. I revisited The Last Waltz, Raging Bull, and Devil in a Blue Dress. And I'm really, really happy all three are on Criterion, especially Devil in a Blue Dress. Not enough people have watched that film, and they really should. It's one of the best detective films I've watched in my lifetime. So, and I'm going through the multiple commentary tracks, because that's what one does. And there's a couple corrections, or clarifications, I should say. I forgot to bring up last week. So my buddy Eric reminded me that Sean Connery and Sidney Lumet worked together 5 times. I forgot about The Hill. So if I remember right, The Hill, The Offense, The Anderson Tapes, Murder on the Orient Express, and Family Business. So those are the ones that he worked on. But I forgot about The Hill, which is a really good film from 1965. In fact, if you were to do a list of the films that actors playing James Bond made when not playing James Bond during their tenure, that The Hill would be one of the best. The other part was, of course, last week we were paying tribute to Paul Sorvino, and I was talking about my connection with Paul, but I already did that. But I failed to mention, and I feel bad about this, he was, if I remember right, one of the actors in the original Broadway production, appeared in the film, and then directed his own version of that championship season, the drama of a reunion of grown men from their that were on the state basketball championship team. And the film, which is a canon film, it's not really Golden Globus Theater. Hi, guys. It's too talky and too emotional. I'm kidding. It's just not an action film. It's an action of words. But Sorvino was the only one from the play to make it into the film. It was Bruce Dern, Stacy Keach, Paul Sorvino, Martin Sheen, and Robert Mitchum, who played the coach. And in the remake, it was Paul played the coach and directed it, and it was Tony Shalhoub, Gary Sinise, Terry Kenny. I know I'm missing somebody. So anyway, but that championship season this was a fascinating ensemble drama. It's written by Jason Miller. Yes, his son. It inspired me to do a script that I'd love to do for Fringe someday, but I'm not ready to talk about it yet. So anyway, but yes, kudos to Paul Sorvino, and I wanted to make sure I mentioned that championship season. All right, friends, new in theaters this week, there is a documentary that's new in theaters. It's at the Can-Can and at Keystone Arts. And then there's a documentary on Kino Lorber that I'm happy to say, when I heard that these documentaries were coming out, my first thought was, well, don't we already have a documentary about this subject, and do we need a second one? And I'm happy to say with both of them, yes. So The big title in theaters this week is Hallelujah, Leonard Cohen, A Journey, A Song. And this is a film that's not just about the history of the song Hallelujah. There is a little bit of Cohen's own life and career story, and that was the part I was worried about because there was the 2005 documentary, Leonard Cohen, I'm Your Man. And granted, it's 17 years old. I know that. And I kind of get burned at times when I say, well, this is basically a film that was made 30 years ago. And so it's the grandiose, well, I saw it, so I don't need to see another version of it. But this is a different. Leonard Cohen, I'm Your Man, is about his career and performances by musicians who were influenced by Cohen. In this one, it is about Cohen's career and life, but also about the history and the impact of the song Hallelujah. So it goes through his history and how many verses are there and how many do you know? Bob Dylan became a fan of the song, and it picked up when, well, there were a few things. There was John Cale's version, then Jeff Buckley's version, and then, of course, Shrek. So it tells the story about how John Cale how Jeff Buckley made his, and how it got into Shrek. And if you've seen Cohen in interviews or on stage, very dry wit, very dry delivery. And it was fun to hear him in an interview say, especially after the success of Shrek, and then it was on, and then it became a staple song on all of the reality talent shows, American Idol, X Factor, The Voice, fill in the blank, geographic location as talent, Got Talent. And he finally just joked, maybe people should stop singing it. And they showed it at one point on the British charts, whoever was Britain's Got Talent, their version was number one, Jeff Buckley's was number two, and Leonard Cohen's was number 36. Yeah. We do get to hear the story about him getting ripped off by his assistant and his business manager, and how in his mid-70s had to go back on the road. But really lovely montages of him performing the song and the audience singing along to the song all over the world, literally, proper use of literally, all over the world. So, and the film has what I call the that thing you do aspect. I am not sick of the song by the time the film ends. So if you are a fan of Leonard Cohen, or you want to hear just a really cool journey of a song and the man itself, but I mean, especially the song, definitely check out Hallelujah, Leonard Cohen, A Journey, A Song. It's very enjoyable. And as I said, it's at the Can-Can as well as at Landmark Keystone Arts. The other documentary I was mentioning is from Kino Lorber, out on Blu-ray, called Fiddler's Journey to the Big Screen. And this is about the making of the film version of Fiddler on the Roof, and which is different than the very enjoyable 2019 documentary Fiddler, A Miracle of Miracles, which is about the history of the play, the musical, and the film, and its impact on the world. I mean, there were productions done in Japan. There were productions done in other foreign countries, non-English-speaking countries, because the story, the mainline of tradition and family and changes. So this is about just the making of the film itself and Norman Jewison's journey, the director, and how some of the studio heads thought he was Jewish because his last name was Jewison. And his career and the choices that he had to make. Topol is interviewed. Some of the actresses who played the daughters are interviewed. At one point, apparently, when talk about making a film version of Fiddler in the mid-60s, Danny Kaye and Frank Sinatra wanted to be in it. They bring up Zero Mostel, who, of course, starred in the Broadway production and was deemed too American and too shticky by Norman Jewison. That did not go over well. There's also a famous story, and I don't know if it's true, because Norman Jewison also directed Jesus Christ Superstar, which had Josh Mostel, Zero's son, in it as Pontius Pilate. But there's a phone conversation, which I can't talk about on the air. So Anyway, but it's as somebody who played the rabbi in Fiddler, I enjoyed it. You don't have to be in a production of Fiddler on the Roof to enjoy this. It does feel like a very long special feature on a film, but it's still well done and enjoyable for me. So, yeah, from Kino Lorber, Fiddler's Journey to the Big Screen. And then I hit a bunch of titles that I'd not seen before and then did not realize that they were connected with films I had seen before. And I'll give you a couple of examples. First being from Cohen Film Collection, a 2003 French drama called Natalie. And it's the story of a husband and wife, a successful businessman, and his wife suspects her husband of cheating on her. And so the wife hires a prostitute, or a woman who dances in a club, to go and hit on her husband to see how she responds. And there is a strange friendship bond that happens between the two ladies. And I realize this is the original film that was later remade into the movie Chloe. The film Chloe was with Liam Neeson, Julianne Moore, Amanda Seyfried. Natalie, in this one, Gerard Depardieu plays the husband, the actress who, the younger actress. I'm weird enough to say I had seen her before. If you remember the 1987 god-awful film Date with an Angel, she played the blonde angel. And the wife is a French actress that I've seen in a few things, including Eight Women, which is a really fun French musical. But anyway, it doesn't go down a particular path like Chloe does, but it's still a decent little drama of the relationship between three people with a nice twist at the end. So Natalie from 2003 is out on Cohen Film Collection. The other one I'd always heard about and did not realize that this was later remade in the United States, but from 1976, Film Movement Classics from Brazil, Dona Flor and Her Two Husbands. And this film kind of opened it up for the filmmaker. But for American audiences, this was their introduction to Sonia Braga. Yes, this was before Kiss of the Spider-Woman. This was before her appearance on The Cosby Show. And this was before she was the henchwoman for Raul Julia in the Clint Eastwood film The Rookie. But she plays a widow. We find out that her first husband has died. We find out that husband number one was a complete screw-up, a gambler, a cheat, a drunk, stayed out late. And she remarries somebody who is none of those, but not nearly as exciting. And what happens when the ghost of your first husband comes to visit? Now, I told you that story, and it sounds like the first 10 minutes. It's actually the whole film. And it's interesting as I describe that story for you, this was remade in the early 80s in Hollywood as a film called Kiss Me Goodbye, which I remember seeing in the theater. Sally Field and her dishwater husband, Jeff Bridges, of all people, and her house is infiltrated by her dead husband, played by James Caan, who was kind of doing a Bob Fosse-like impression. So anyway, that's and so that basis of is the first 10 minutes of Kiss Me Goodbye. What the story I just also described is the entire film of Dona Flor and Her Two Husbands. So we kind of have a flashback and flash forward about her first marriage and going through the second marriage and what happens when the two husbands collide. So it's really well done, and I had always heard about it but had never seen it. So and Sonia Braga's stunning in this, and in a very good low key performance. So from Film Movement Classics, I should say, Dona Flor and Her Two Husbands from 1976. Speaking of Brazil, new on IndiePix home video is a film called Jesus Kid. It's a story of an author who was at one time a very popular writer of Western novels. He has fallen on hard times. The Western genre is dying, and the government is changing. He has been asked to be a ghostwriter for a biography about the current president, or The idea from his agent, from a film producer and director, is to isolate himself in a hotel for 3 months and just bang on a script. And there's a few callbacks to Barton Fink. They even mention Barton Fink. There is a very nosy bellboy that the author, Eugenio, winds up calling Chet, which was the Steve Buscemi character in Barton Fink. So that aspect of trying to write, there's the creative process. There's a little bit of, about writer's block and what happens, and like similar to Barton Fink, what happens when your creations start to come physically in front of you? They're sharing your hotel room. They are in the elevator with you. The government's also watching you. So the paranoia and what is real and what is false really plays well on this. So good looks at fantasy versus reality as well as the creative process. So, and a fun film. So there's also a woman in his life and a nurse that he meets in the hotel bar. And she's wondering if she's going to be a part of the story. I think we all know the answer to that. So, but yeah, just a good film called Jesus Kid on IndiePix. And finally, from Kino Lorber, a film noir from 2006 I didn't know was made, and I'm glad I got to see this, called El Cortez, which is a hotel in Reno, Nevada. And we have the story of Manny, played by Lou Diamond Phillips, who it's good to see him in this. He is an autistic man who's finally released from an institution. He's found killer was found not guilty due to insanity, or guilty due to insanity, but anyway, put in an institution. He finally gets a job at a hotel, and things seem to be going his way. He's just enjoying his work, very process. And the fact that his character's autistic, this film came out in 2006. It had been 18 years since everyone's cinematic 101 to autism, of course, Rain Man. So we've learned quite a bit since then of how people with autism act and live. So in this one, things are going well in his life. He winds up saving a man in a wheelchair from some thugs. If you're a fan of Hill Street Blues, you'll recognize Bruce. The guy in the chair has a gold mine and he needs some help. So an opportunity is coming. A guy with a hooker who sort of has a heart of gold shows up, and then there's a police officer from Manny's past. So it's all going to intertwine and come to a pretty ugly collision two-thirds of the way through the film, as one would in a film noir. But Lou Diamond Phillips keeps it steady. Even when it goes into action mode, he makes it work. There's a nice little triple cross without giving away too much. But yeah, look I didn't know the film. I didn't know this film was made, and I'm glad it was released on Kino Lorber from 2006. El Cortez. Lou Diamond Phillips, if you're listening to this show, I'd love to have you on to talk about it. Okay, speaking of things I know guys are listening to, Golden Globus Theater this week, they're going back to the 70s for the month and a little bit of the 60s, but they talked about the film Violent City, a.k.a. The Family. This was with Charles Bronson, Telly Savalas, and Jill Ireland. So getting to some gritty 70s stuff, which I really, really dig. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Before we grab a pencil, let's go around the horn and find out what's going on in the area. I mentioned, of course, Hallelujah is being shown at the Can-Can as well as at Keystone Arts. Over at the Tibbs Drive-In on Screen 1, Bullet Train, which opened this week, and Where the Crawdads Sing. Screen 2, Thor, Love and Thunder, and Minions, Rise of Gru. Screen 3, DC League of Super Pets, and Elvis. Screen 4, Nope, and Black Phone. All of that is happening at the Tibbs Drive-In. Over at the Skyline Drive-In this week, oh, here we go. DC League of Super Pets plus the Richard Donner cut of Superman 2. Again, I love old titles on a big screen. So way to go over there. And then at the Historic Art Craft Theater in Franklin tonight, if you're listening on Friday, Friday and Saturday, 2 and 7:30 p.m. And then there is a interactive evening performance at 10:30 p.m. on Saturday of Grease, everyone's favorite movie musical with 30-year-old high school students. Friday, August 19th at 7:30 p.m., Miss Congeniality. Saturday, August 20th, 2 p.m. Oh, sorry, it's a members-only event. So you, unless you're a member, you're not going to be able to see School of Rock. Saturday, 7:30 p.m., August 20th. This is up for anybody. The Terminator. And then Thursday at 1:30, Senior Series. And then Friday and Saturday, 2 and 7:30 p.m., August 26th and 27th, The Wizard of Oz. And I'm really happy to see The Wizard of Oz is not being shown in November because the networks made it a Thanksgiving movie, just like they made It's a Wonderful Life a Christmas movie and The Ten Commandments an Easter movie. So there you go. All right, friends, grab a pencil. Let's find out what you've been watching this week. We start on Twitter with Josie Alma Press, who writes, Naked Over the Fence, an early Sylvia Crystal film, She Sings. Uh-oh. I don't know if I've ever heard Sylvia Crystal sing. I'll have to look into that. Also watch the Z Channel documentary, which is a really, really good one. I happen to own a copy of that. But, yeah, the history of the Z Channel. Also on Twitter from Jake, who writes, who just posted his letterbox page, The Killer Elite, Fistful of Dollars, Rambo, First Blood, Part 2. As he wrote, yes, that's a 5-star review for the second Rambo, the most 80s action movie that ever action movied. Okay. Hot Fuzz, Police Story, and Raiders of the Lost Ark. Thank you, Jake. That is on Twitter. We go over to Facebook, and we start with Jamie, who writes, 17 again, The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, The Little Mermaid for, yeah, Sky Point, the Pat Carroll on that one, the voice of Ursula, The Hangover, The Perks of Being a Wallflower, Batman Returns, Alice in Wonderland, Tim Burton, Little Mermaid 2, Lightyear, and Alice Through the Looking Glass. All right, I'm going to tell my traveling pants story. So I was doing reviews for Abdul in the Morning back at 1430 WXNT, 1490? Yeah, doesn't matter, it's AM. And normally I would see something at a press screening or something in advance, and I remember not being able to see anything new that week because life got in the way. And for some reason, Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants opened on a Wednesday. So I decided to go Wednesday evening. That way I would have something to talk about on the show. And I went at the latest show. There was like a 10 p.m. screening on a Wednesday night. And I figured there wouldn't be that many people there. And it turns out I was the oldest one in the theater by a good 15 years. And there were about 24 teenage girls and a couple of boyfriends who got dragged into the film to watch the film. And boyfriends, husbands, you have to do that sometimes. And I'm watching the film, and it's not bad. It's not bad. It's not made for me. You know, I don't know why, 30-something guy, doughy guy is reviewing this film. But and I remember I brought my notebook, and I generally don't take notes in the theater. I used to, but this one is like, and it's sidebar. So when there was a film, when the critics had to review a film involving a Lohan or a Duff or the Olsons, you know, we all sat together. We all talked very loudly about our work because we didn't want to be seen as the skeevy old guys watching the young girls on screen. So I'm watching the film, and it's, I thought it was going to be about boys and shopping and these and this pair of pants, and it turned out to be much more than that. I enjoyed myself. I wound up finding out who Blake Lively is. And then I thought, okay, the film's over. I'll stay through the credits because kids today, they don't listen to the, they don't watch the credits. They just get up and leave. They don't get up and leave. They stay in the theater and gab. And like Michael in the Italian restaurant in The Godfather, I just kind of put my head down, didn't make eye contact with anybody, and just walked quickly out of the theater. I was embarrassed. And then I remember going on the air Friday morning, did the review, and just as a public service announcement, if any parents whose kids were at the Wednesday night 10 o'clock screening, you know, at Glendale, that was me. I was working. I just didn't want some teenagers to go, well, the film was good, but there was this old guy by himself, and I went and be creeped out. So there you go. Allergies. Moving on, Devin writes the bad guys. Lou writes nothing at all, with Eric loving that one. Alan writes Fire of Love. Abdul, speak of the devil, writes Top Gun Maverick. Krista writes Raiders of the Lost Ark at Can-Can for the East Side Antique Shop Crawl. John Williams' score, still so great. Definitely a different ratings era. Ratings era? Okay. Oh, as far as... never mind. Mary writes Hidden Figures. Melissa writes Thor, Love and Thunder, and Minions, The Rise of Gru, which sounds like a double feature at a drive-in. Mario writes Gattaca. Jolene writes Animal House. Oh, is John breaking cans on, crushing beer cans on his forehead again? Ben writes Nope and Thor. Robert writes Prince and the Showgirl and Much Ado About Nothing. Cute. Megan writes, that could qualify as a review. I hope you enjoyed the movie, as it was Much Ado About Something. Thank you. Doug writes, what is cinema? The Last Movie Stars. I need to watch that. The Long Hot Summer, Blood and Sand, Mud and Sand, The Apu Trilogy, Patcher Pacelli, Aperagito. Oh, gosh, I'm butchering these. The World of Apu, Paris Blues, Divorce American Style, Victor and Victoria, the German film, not the Blake Edwards film, The Discreet Charm of the Bourgeois, Gentleman's Agreement, Goodfellas, Tarzan of the Apes, Tarzan the Ape Man, and Tarzan the Ape Man. Oh, my goodness, the one with Johnny Westmuller and the one with Bo Derek, My Little Chickadee, Svengali, not Svengoolie, Grandma's Boy, that's Harold Lloyd, not the one from the aughts. La Dolce Vita, The Gold Rush, The Frozen North, Cinderella, 1965's TV version with Leslie Ann Warren. Shout out to Mrs. Sosi. OSS 117, Cairo, Nest of Spies, Daydreams, and Desert Nights. Wow, thank you, Doug. Good list there. Sarah writes, nope, some really cool genre breaking in that one. Nikki writes, Paddleton. Craig writes, saw Nope and loved it. Let's see. Eric writes, Us, a movie that had a lot of promise but was ultimately a bit unsatisfying. Cropsey and Tickled. Joe writes, Joe Shearer, Vengeance, Prey, Spiderhead, Thor, and the Northman. And yes, Sam, that's a very primal, animalistic sounding lineup. Tony writes, Nope. Pat writes, Pat wrote, nothing yet, Bullet Train Tonight, though. Thank you, Pat. These are my followers. Eric, speak of the devil, busy week. First views. Oh, Round Midnight. You'd never seen Round Midnight. I'm really, really glad, Eric, you got to see Round Midnight. By the way, friends, I don't think I've mentioned it enough this summer. Round Midnight is now out on Criterion. Great performance by Dexter Gordon. Love, love, love that film. Go seek it out. Buy it. Own it. Raw Deal from 1948, and The Card Counter from 2021, the Paul Schrader film. His rewatches, another film out on Criterion, Summertime, the David Lean film with Katharine Hepburn, A River Runs Through It, Mystery at the Wax Museum, Kiss Me Stupid, and my new Criterion of Persona. Holy cow, those subtitles really are really from a new translation. Thank you, Eric. Good catch there. Kurt writes both Downton Abbey films at Bell Trace this past week. Nikki writes Envy, Avengers, Infinity War, and Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Jay writes, seeing Bullet Train tonight, I'll let you know. Stay tuned for next week's program, friends. Amanda writes Secret Window, Creep Show, Cat's Eye, Firestarter, Christine. Okay, I see it. Yes, there is a theme going on there. David writes Hellboy and Heat. Jessica writes Lost City, Dashcam, and Massive Talent. Taylor writes House of Gucci, Prisoner of Zelda, which one? The Time Machine, Raw Deal. I got a feeling it's the 48 version, not the Schwarzenegger version. Captain Marvel, the 2014 Godzilla, The Conversation, and A Call to Spy. Maggie writes Contact. Daniel writes The Black Swan, Tyrone Power, and Marnie. Robert Muggy writes Something Wild, Not Okay, and Olivier Assas's new 8-hour remake of his own Irma Vep. Thank you, Robert. Roxana writes, not a movie, but the series Loot with Maya Rudolph is delightful. Yes, she is. Nick Rogers writes, Baalubali, The Beginning, Baalubali, The Conclusion, Memory, Elvis, Nope, Resurrection, The Duke, Flux Gourmet, Benediction, Blacklight, Glorious, Tina Saw, Last Radio Call, Anna Carita, and The Sixth Secret. Gary writes, As Long As We Both Shall Live, 1989's Batman, Time to Illmatic, Akira, Paprika, Death Laden Egg, Django Kill, If You Live, Shoot, Madame Claude, The Perils of Pauline from 1947, Iron Man 3, Score, and Where the Crawdads Sing. Gene writes a good German. Jeff writes three Spider-Man films, Homecoming, Far From Home, No Way Home. Tell Aunt May to call me. Aaron writes A Time to Kill. Zachariah writes The Last Metro, The Original Cape Fear, Thor, and Swing Time. Sam Watermeyer, Prom Night 2, Hello Mary Lou, Kolobos, Possum, Hunted, Satanic Panic, Superhost, Follow Her, Needful Things, Double Blind, and There May Be Ghosts. Rita asked, does documentaries count? Yes, documentaries always count. Can you hear me hitting the podium? Jeez, documentaries always count, friends. I have people who tell me they haven't watched anything and watching series. So totally documentaries count. There, I feel better now. I watched a documentary on Senator Evan Bayh. Thank you, Rita. Thanks for putting up with me. Manny writes, just saw Hello again for the first time, and I have a new appreciation for Shelley Long. Also WTF. Okay. Not about Shelley Long, I hope, Manny. Yeah, I remember seeing Hello again. Yes, this was the big jump, Shelley Long leaving Cheers to have a film career and didn't quite pan out as she wanted. But, you know, Hello Again is a fun film. So is Outrageous Fortune. Beverly Hills is now has a cult following. So, you know, it's all in the timing, I guess. And finally, Michael writes The Gray Man, Mission Impossible, Ghost Protocol, Lightyear, and Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation. Thank you, Michael. And there you go, friends. That's what you've been watching this week. So hopefully you got some ideas, films to watch, inspired by some titles, and hopefully you get to watch some films that are good, that are new, or at least new to you, as well as falling back on old favorites. Friends, some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
And if you listen to Golden Globus Theater, one of those lines you just heard is going to be a preview of what they're going to be talking about next week's program. All right, I'll tell you. It's the three Charlton Heston sci-fi films. They're going to do Planet of the Apes, Omega Man, and Soylent Green. And I am really excited to see these films, hear the guys talk about these films, because I think Charlton Heston took these as serious as he did The Ten Commandments and Ben-Hur. So I'm excited to hear what they have to say about it. So check in on that. We'll do this again next week. Thank you for listening, and take care, everybody. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Michigan.
I can't believe you let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
What parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!